All right, everyone. Well, it's great to see you. I hope everyone has their Christmas lights going and trees are up, and we're in that season and we love it. We embrace it here in our home deeply.
Yep.
Yeah, deeply. Some of us more than others. But it's been a wonderful season. And, you know, I was so encouraged last week to begin this series on the prophecies of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. And really, we talked last week about what brought it on. And what brought it on really was the book of Ruth, because there was so much, we found ourselves at so many points referencing Jesus in the book. And it just kind of brought both of us to this, it's like we had this revelation as we were going through the book of Ruth, that the reality is that the underlying story of the entire Bible, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelations, is one thing and one thing alone. It is Jesus, his coming here on earth, his death, and his resurrection for you and I. And that is the underlying story. And then when you begin to read the Bible with that understanding, all of a sudden, everything kind of springs forth and you begin realizing, well, the truth, that's not just what we think, that's what's actually going on in the Word of God. We talked about last week how it's like watching a movie and you know that it's about to get to this climax and there are all these like foreshadowings through the movie and these little things that you hear or see that help you to what's to understand what's about to come. Well, this is what's about to come. And we're in a season where we celebrate what came, and that was Jesus here on earth. And last week, just very quickly, we decided we were going to take the next 4 weeks to talk about, you know, the Old Testament, the first five books, and what were some indicators of Jesus in the first five books. Today, we're going to talk about Judges and Kings a little bit, which is a lot, by the way, a lot. And then then we'll talk about the prophets and we'll finish up right before Christmas there. Or is it 3 weeks? Sorry, is it 3 weeks? It's 3 weeks, I've been saying four. And so this week we're going to talk about the Judges and Kings. And let me tell you, it's really meaty. And every single quick thing that we discuss tonight could probably take a year in and of itself. One of the things we're going to discuss tonight is like the life of David. And honestly, Assam and I, when we first got married, went to a Bible study where we spent 2 years learning about the life of David. It was like 2 years of 1st and 2nd Samuel. So truly, truly, this is something we can go through. And I don't know, maybe God will open this up to whatever's to come after Christmas. But in Genesis, we learned about Jesus being the foreshadowing of coming from the seed of a woman. And we spoke about the life of Isaac and how very clearly that sacrifice was that potential sacrifice that Abraham was going to make in the life of Isaac was a picture of Christ. In Exodus, we saw the Passover lamb, and we talked about what that meant and the blood over the doorposts and that entirety. In Leviticus, we see all the sacrifices and offerings that are all pointing right to the same thing. In Numbers, we talked about the water from the rock. Remember that? What a perfect place to get water out of a rock. No, it was a picture of Jesus being the rock of our salvation. And then in Deuteronomy, we talked about the cities of refuge that were all very clear. So today, we're going to go through, today, we're going to go through Judges and Kings. And before we do, I want to read in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. This is one of the many stories of Christ or scriptures that refer to the birth of Christ throughout the Gospels. And I really encourage you to take this time to go through the Gospels and look for those scriptures that tell us of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. This is a great one, and it's very appropriate for our passages here today. It's Luke 1, verse 30, and it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end.'" Amen. I get goosebumps still today when I read that. And we see, we're going to see now in Kings and in through Judges and the stories of the kings, where we see Jesus typified.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Thank you so much.
So starting with the book of Joshua today, we're going to see a little bit of a reference about Jesus that's very important to all of us. In Joshua 5, it says, starting at verse 13, it says, "When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him and with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, 'Are you friend or foe?'" Right? Foe. Mm-hmm. "Neither one," he replied. "I am," listen to this, "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. In the first five books, we see how God delivered the Israelites, how God delivered them from the land of Egypt, right? We saw how God spoke to Moses through that burning bush, but the tree wouldn't burn. You know, we saw how God spoke to them about going to Egypt, taking the Israelites out, crossing the Red Sea, and then going through the wilderness, as Dina was explaining, providing water, providing the heavenly manna, providing all of us, right? But God's promise was not only to deliver Israel from Egypt. There was a second part to the promise. Do you guys remember what it was? To deliver you from Egypt, to save you from Egypt, and that you would enter into the promised land, the land that overflows with milk and honey. So God doesn't just want us to die to our sins. God doesn't just want us to leave our slavery, that if I'm slave and I'm addicted to sin in general, whichever type of sin, I'm not talking about the types of sin today. I'm talking about being slave to sin itself. God doesn't just want us to deliver us from that. God wants us to enter into a new life, that the new creation that he created for us. And the book of Joshua here, there's a great reference to Jesus that we can see here in these few verses that we just read. So the people of Israel left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. The Pharaoh and his armies drowned and they were defeated. God provided for them. And then they crossed the Jordan, right? They crossed the Jordan and they're now out of the Jordan and they're about to face the first thing that they have to face, which are the walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to that, before Joshua, before the people of Israel start wondering what's going to happen next, God appears. Then we see the angel of the Lord, who's a reference to who? To Jesus. The reference to Jesus standing behind him with his sword ready to go. So the same person who appeared to Moses in that wilderness, telling him, "Go take the Israelites out of Egypt," is the same person that's appearing to Joshua right now, telling him, "Do not worry, I am fighting for you. We're going to go through these battles together. We're going to bring these walls together." To you and me, the same person who died on the cross to save you from your sin, to save me from my sin, to pay all of your debt and my debt. Guess what? He is the same person standing with you right now, standing with me right now, ready to bring every wall down, ready to fight for you and for me, ready to give us the victory after victory after victory. I know you look up right now and you see walls of sin. You see walls of obstacles. You see walls of things could be tying you to the past or tying me to the past. But guess what? The same God who forgave the past, who delivered you from your sin, will be walking with you and with me right now with his sword ready to fight on our behalf. And who did that in the New Testament? Jesus himself. And here is that reference for him. So we see that it's the same person who delivered us from sin is the same person who will give us this abundant life that he promised us. He's appearing to Joshua to enter the promised land. And for you and me, God or Jesus is appearing to you and speaking to you and to me right now to enter and to take every promise that he has given us. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us talk about we're missing joy. We're missing peace. We're missing just trust and faith and confidence in God. That is all provided. All of these walls that you see standing that you could not even imagine crossing in the past, God standing on that other side of the Jordan, God standing on that other side of the grave, you know, conquering the grave, ready to take your hand, my hand, and deliver all of us. Here is something that's amazing. That man that Joshua saw was not working for Joshua, neither he was working for the enemy. Guess he was working for? He was working for the Lord himself. He was working for the Father himself. He is the commander of God's army. So if you want to have victory, it's not going to be yours. It's not going to be mine. It's his victory that he already received, that he already have. And you and I can partake in that victory. You know, he's not coming to join your team. I'm sorry. You know, Jesus is not coming to join your team. Can I say that one more time? Jesus is not coming to join your team or my team. We are coming to join his team. He is Lord. He is the one that won. He is the Pastor Albert.
The lion from the tribe of Judah.
There you go. He is. Yeah. And as soon as I saw like that on mute, I knew that he was thinking the same. He is the one that won every battle. And he is the one that's ready to take Joshua, to take every Joshua, to take every person in this room, in this meeting, to that victory. What do you need from me, Lord? What do you need from me? That's what Joshua said. While he is in complete surrender, he bows down to his face. That's not someone who's struggling. That's not someone who's trying to pick a fight with the angel of the Lord. That's not someone who's trying to pick a fight with Jesus. That's someone that's completely surrendering. What do you want me to do? You know what? Start with take off your shoes. Just like the same words that were said to Moses back in the days. This is a holy place. There is no place here for anything from the world. There is no place here for anything from the flesh. Take off your shoes and just recognize that this is a holy moment. You know, you and I know we all here want Jesus's help. We want him to win. We want him to win in our life, right? But we are missing a little bit of that he is the Holy One, and we need to come with him with complete surrender and humility to let him lead our journey with him. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, it's me, Stan.
Still me.
I talk too much. Okay, then we go through the book of Judges. I haven't been in a Bible study in a couple of weeks. Yeah. I haven't preached in a couple of weeks.
He's going to take it out on everybody.
I'm still trying to build my stamina a little bit. The only person I preach to is Dina every morning. She hears me. think she started it. So in the book, that's the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua shows us how Jesus was the one who fights our battles, the one who takes us to the promised land. Every promise that God has for you, every promise that God gave you, every promise that's in the word of God, it is achievable. It is doable only through Jesus and only through the victory that he has for us. Now we go on to the book of Judges, okay? So if you want your promised land, it's doable, okay? Jesus can guarantee that for you. Amen?
Amen.
Now the book of Judges, okay? In Judges 2:18-19, it says, whenever the Lord, and you see here the Lord, the whole capital Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. Okay? We see here that when you see the word Lord with all capital, this is a reference to Jesus himself as well, because this is when God is manifesting himself to you and to me. This is when God is showing himself to be so tangible and right, what's another word, like prison, you know, to you and to me. So whenever you see that, and let me ask you, what was the clearest way God manifested himself to you and to me? Do what my kids do.
Jesus.
Any question,
Jesus.
The answer is Jesus. When we're doing Bible study, if you don't know the answer, just say Jesus, and you're 99% correct. So just say Jesus. What is the clearest way God manifested himself to us?
Jesus.
There you go. So whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. So the people of Israel went through a lot of battles and went to a lot of fights. So God appointed so many judges. We have, I know I'm going to torture the name, but, you know, just be with me. We had enemies like, what is this one?
Mesopotamia.
Yeah. So the people of Israel were in bondage to them for 8 years. Then God appointed Othniel, who delivered them for 4 years. They were then slaves to Moab. Then God raised up Ahud, who delivered them for 80 years. Then they were slaves to Canaan for 20 years. Then God gave them Deborah, the judge, who delivered them for 40 years. Then they were again slaves to Midian for 7 years. And then God appointed Gideon. You all know Gideon, right? And then he delivered them for 4 years. And then they were again slaves to Ammon. They were slaves to Ammon for 18 years. And then and then God raised up Jephthah. And they were freed for 6 years. And then they were again enslaved to Philistinia. And then they were in bondage for 40 years. And then God appointed Samson, and he delivered them for 20 years. But the key verse in that book is that whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them from the hands of their enemy as long as the judge lived. You know, right now, you and I don't need to wait for a judge to deliver us. You know, so the people of Israel, as I just read to you, like, these are not short periods of time. When you're enslaved to the Ammonites for 18 years, or to Canaan for 20 years, or Philistine for 4 years, these are not short times, you know, and they kept waiting and waiting until God would send a new judge, and that new judge would come and deliver them from the hands of their enemy. You know, I have some good news for you. You do not have to wait for a judge to come and deliver you, because Jesus Christ delivered us all.
Amen.
That Lord, the capital R, the one who was manifested to this world, the one I believe that was manifested to every single one of us here. Raise your hand if God manifested himself to you through Jesus Christ in one situation or another. You're supposed to raise your hand. Delia,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delia was the last to raise her hand. Anyway, so God manifested himself to us in all of this. We do not need to wait for judges. He already is here with us. He's already guaranteeing not only that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are also the ones that are doing deliverance. Mm. We are the ones that are helping one another to break down strongholds, to break down bondage that our brothers and sisters walk into. When I step into Sunday morning, God knows what I had in my heart. And I stepped and it felt like God was giving the message to me specifically. Really, every word of that message, that was for me. Not saying that because the pastor is here, because I would be lying and I wouldn't be lying during a Bible study. But I was going with a lot in my heart, with a lot of things I'm thinking about. And God delivered his word. And I saw Jesus written all over it. I'm not calling him Judge Albert or Judge Al. He's our pastor. I am not a judge. She's not a judge, even though she could be, you know.
I'd watch that show.
I know. That would be fun. So God, through the book of Judges, we see that the people of Israel are falling under the slavery of certain people. And each one, like if we have time, we would go and what each one actually represents, you know, or how they fell into that place. And we see how Jesus faced every single one of those situations when he was alive. We see how the New Testament went through all of these situations. People who were addicted to lust, people who were addicted to the flesh in any way, people who were addicted to their neighboring cities and they just wanted to copy them and do whatever they did. People who are addicted to so many things, Jesus came and gave freedom to all of them.
So as Assam said, Judges really began to show us the picture of Jesus through every single judge that we read about and go through. Really, there's the image of Christ coming to save us from our enemies, to save us from the enemies of our flesh and sin, of the world, and of the enemy himself. And so that's how we see Jesus in and through the judges. Isn't it amazing how we can go through the whole Bible in like, I don't know, 20 minutes?
I only did two books in 20 minutes.
So I'll speed it up here. I know we're getting short on time. First and Second Samuel, like I mentioned before, this is really as we begin to hear the story of Saul and David and the kings coming into the picture. There are a few things that are really important that we see through 1st and 2nd Samuel that show us Jesus. First, that the Messiah was exalted by God in with power. And we can see that in 1 Samuel 2:1. There was an exalting of those kings. The Messiah would be a descendant of David. We know that. We see that throughout genealogy, and we see that confirmed over and over. Throughout time, that the Messiah would be the rock. And you can find a reference to that in 2 Samuel 23:2. And the life of Jonathan, a faithful friend, in 1 Samuel 18. But really, like, let's, you know, I mean, all of this is very true, but really, if we had to shine a light and highlight one story, it would be David. King David really shows us is a picture and symbol of Jesus throughout from the beginning to the end. Think of his life. He begins as a shepherd, right? Jesus is spoken of and seen in that image very clearly. And throughout scripture, we hear about God being our good shepherd. He is a giant slayer. He slayed that giant. He then is a warrior, and then finally he ends as a king. And in all of those stages of David's life, and in every persona that David had to take on in those different stages of his life, we really can see characteristics and images of Christ throughout that entire piece. One thing for me that sticks out about the life of David was his sort of uncanny ability to draw on his faith in times that were very difficult. David draws on his faith. He's running from Saul. He draws on his faith. He's entering war. He draws on his faith. Even early on, going up against Goliath, he draws on this incredible faith that he had, that seemed to give him like supernatural abilities, superhero-like powers almost throughout his entire life. And we see that with Jesus. We see Jesus drawing on his faith in the most incredible way when he was being tempted by the devil. He draws on his faith. He continually professes God's word in the face of something awful. And even as he's at the cross, he draws on his faith at that moment, at the toughest moment of his life, and really the toughest moment of mankind. So we see David as this incredible image of Jesus. And in fact, I think when most theologians and those that write about this type of thing, these prophecies that we see of Jesus throughout, really David is the big, bright, highlighted name, because so many of the stages of his life really show us a picture of Jesus Christ. So we'll see. We did David in 2 minutes.
Well, I'm not done with David.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay, so who will promise me here to go read 1 Samuel 17 today? Yes. Okay, Dahlia will. And she will read it out loud so Pastor Al can listen. So 1 Samuel 17, please. I want you to see the similarities, to see how the Old Testament, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, was prophesying about Jesus. In the story alone of David and Goliath, I want you to discover these next points. I'm not going to speak about them. I want you to discover them, right? I want you to see how David was sent by the father, by his father, Jesse, to go check on his brothers in the battle in the battlefield. And who sent Jesus? The father. Thank you. Okay. And then you see Jesus, you see David, even though there are two armies fighting against each other. That's how it was supposed to be. That's what you're going to read in 1 Samuel 17. You're going to see it was supposed to be two armies. However, the enemy, the army of the enemy, was sending one man who put fear in everyone's heart day after day, right? And then there's another man comes up, finally, his name is David, to come fight on behalf of the Israelites, right?
Yes.
You and I had one enemy. You and I, our enemy is not the boss at work, it's not the neighbor, it's not this or that. There is one enemy, okay? There is one enemy to all of us, and that is Satan. And there comes one person as the sole representation of mankind. You know, the first representation of mankind, which was Adam, brought death to all of us. But there's another one who will represent all of those who believe in him. He will bring what? He'll bring life. By his obedience, he will bring life. So you will see the representation of the enemy in Goliath. You will see representation of God in David. You will see the representation of the enemy in Satan, and you will see the representation of God in Jesus Christ. He was rejected by his brothers. David was rejected by his brothers, correct? Do you guys remember?
Yes, yes.
His brothers wanted to kick him out. Was Jesus accepted by his brothers?
No.
Absolutely not. He was strengthened by his past. David was strengthened by his past experiences and his complete dependency on God. David went through some stuff. he sums up that he was not your typical teenager boy who was, you know, playing video games at home. He was in the wilderness. He was shepherding. He was fighting bears and lions and all of that. He knew it all. And that experience gave him the courage. That experience with God gave him the courage and to go fight his battle. When Jesus came, Jesus was not lost. Jesus was not lost. Jesus knew for a specific mission, knew exactly what he had to do, knew exactly his goals, his mission. When they tried to reign him as a king, he said no. When they tried to stone him before his time, he left. He knew exactly the specific time. He knows the plan, and he was walking through that plan. His victory, David's victory, when he killed Goliath and got his head, David's victory became what? Became Israelite, the whole nation of Israel's victory. And Jesus's victory becomes what?
Our
victory.
Yeah.
Our victory. These are just very, very, very small similarities that you're going to find, I promise you, when you read 1 Samuel 17, you're going to find a lot more than that.
And we suggest to you, really, if you have time over, you know, maybe after Christmas or entering this new year, really start going through some of these stories, some of these references that we've made, and look and see with the eye of, I'm going to find Jesus in this.
I'm going to find similarities to Jesus.
Right, right. I'm going to find the picture of Jesus, the prophecies that speak to us of who Jesus was about to be, what we were to expect in the future. It's really incredible. It's incredible how much there is. Now we'll move on to 1st and 2nd Kings. There are many, many things in 1st and 2nd Kings that we could see that are a picture of Jesus. One of them is the life of Elisha. We see him multiplying bread in 2nd Kings 4:42. Familiar? Jesus and the bread. Okay. Also, we see him healing a leper in 2nd Kings 5. But really in 1st and 2nd Kings, you know, with the highlight marker, we see King Solomon and the kingdom, maybe not King Solomon as specifically, but the kingdom of King Solomon, really the splendor and the majesty of the, I mean, Solomon was all about the bling, right? Like he was all about pomp and circumstance and building things, and was a great builder and wanted to build things for the Lord. But he created this splendor and majesty in the kingdom that for us really is about the splendor and majesty of the kingdom of Christ as being part of our future in heaven, of course. And so Solomon is a great picture of that. And if you get some time, go through 1st and 2nd Kings. I don't want to take time from Chronicles. So,
no, it's really quick. Just in Chronicles 1, it gives you the Messiah is coming from the tribe of Judah, you know. And in Luke 3:23-32, you will give that same genealogy. Yes. You know, it gives you the history of Jesus, you know, who's his father, the father and the ancestors and all of that. And then it talks to us about the temple of Solomon. And even Jesus himself referred to that temple when he said, if you tear down that temple, I will raise it in 3 days. Because the temple, whether the temple or the tabernacle, were always a reference of Jesus. This is something that could take 10 years from Pastor Al to explain to us. But there is a lot of similarities there, you know, a lot of similarities where the gate and the altar and the washing, what's it called? The washing place, the gate as Jesus is the gate, and the altar is a reference to the cross. And then the washing place where we're cleansed from our sins. And then we see the holies and the holy of holies. And, you know, When you and I hear the word holy of holies, you know, like, what does that mean? When we hear that the priest would go once a year. Okay, great, good for him. You know, he has to wait the whole year. You know, but to the Israelites, that meant something. That meant that, you know, someone was going to the heart of God to sacrifice on their behalf, to ask on their behalf, you know. But in Jesus, you and I don't have to wait once a year. You know, Jesus is our gate. And he said it loud and clear. I am the gate. I am the door. You can come in and go out. This is I am. I have a place for you. I can guarantee you that entrance any time you want. I'm not going to force you. There is no forcing whether to come in or to stay in. There is no forcing. But I am the door. You can come in. And if you come in, you will find salvation. And we will see the altar where he sacrificed his body to die for our sins, to pay for our sins. And then we will see right after the altar, we will see the washing place where we are cleansed from all of our sins and all of our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
When you go read the about the temple or the tabernacle, you will see all the similarities and all the prophecies about Jesus. And
so just with that, again, I know it was like fast and dirty here. So many things to kind of go through and chew on. But our hope here is to just really shed light on the idea, big picture, right? We're talking 30,000 feet. We're not in the weeds like we were with Ruth for months and months and months. But the big picture here is that the Word of God told us in advance, over and over and over again, about what was to come in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we're celebrating this time, celebrating his birth, it's really important for us to look and see what so much of the origin of our faith is. And we see a lot of the origin of our faith pointing to him over and over and over and over again in every book.
Actually, part of the study was supposed to be the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we were supposed to learn, the Jesus as the guardian redeemer. But since we spent, I don't know, a few
months
in Ruth, so. But yeah, every word that was written to teach us, to build us, and to transform us. You know, these were not just words or chapters that were just put there. This is God speaking to all of us. You know, and if we come to him with a humble spirit, asking and seeking and doing a little bit of research, putting in a little bit of effort, he will reveal himself. This is not about information. You know, this is about finding what Jesus did, who Jesus is, what he's doing for us. Like, you know, for example, for Joshua. Okay, great. We left Egypt. Wonderful. You know, we crossed the Jordan. That's great. Where is the rest? Where is the promised land? Where is the joy? Where is the peace? Where is the harmony between me and my family or between the believers? Where is the success in my spiritual life? Where is all of that? You know, all of that is there. We just need to find Jesus. Just like we trusted him with our salvation, just like we trusted him to die and pay for our sins and to split that sea wide open so we can walk through it, we need to still trust him and hold on to him so he can walk us through the Jericho walls and every other battle that you and I have in life. Because I have some good news for you. We're going to be in battles until the day we meet Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to be in battles. Today, this morning, when we were praying, God just gave me a word as we were praying. And I said, it's either we're going to be in his presence or we're going to be in our prison. You choose. Really, as I was praying, God just said those words. It's either we're going to be in his presence, looking at him, you know, enjoying his company, enjoying his sweet, wonderful, kind smile and spirit, enjoying his encouragements, or I'm going to be in my own prison. And man, I hate my own prison.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like it. I don't like being by myself. I don't like being with myself. So this is a choice. Let's open that word of God. Let's do a little bit of research. Let's study. Jesus is in every single word. And it's a wonderful season to start celebrating. It's a wonderful season to commit that we're going to get into the word of God and we're going to study it. Amen?
Okay, let's open it up for some discussion, some questions or comments, things we'd like to talk a little bit more about. Not all at once now.
Yes, please.
Can't handle the barrage.
I know you guys miss me and want me to speak for like the next 2-3 hours. I know you do.
Somebody unmute yourself fast.
There was something that you said about Jesse sending David, the father sending a son out to the battlefield, and the enemy came and there was one man who was on the other side. And it really struck me. Because I read the story a lot, and I even preached that story a lot, but it struck me that the representative took care of the entire army. So I kind of knew that, but this just brought it to a whole different level of clarity, because we understand from the New Testament that Jesus represents us as the federal head, and whatever he did impacts us. Because he is that last Adam, or he is that second Adam. And even though the first Adam kind of messed up, he kind of stepped, not kind of, he did step up and he took care of business. And because he was victorious, I am victorious in him now. Amen. And so my David, if you will, or the son of David, took the head of the enemy, slew him and triumphed over him on the cross. And so now his victory has become my victory, and that is my greatest enemy. Mm-hmm. And so he has completely defeated him. And so that was just very, wow. Very crystal clear. So thank you for that.
Welcome, amen. Thank you for making it clear, actually. Now it's
much more clear
than before. So thank you.
Else, anything we draw from here today?
Hassan, can you clarify in the first and second Kings the life of Elijah? It says multiplying the bread.
Elisha.
Okay.
There are two of them. There's Elijah and there's Elisha.
Can you explain more, kind of a little bit deeply? Jesus, in it?
I think it's 2 Kings 4, yeah. 42.
Sure.
Can you open it up?
Yeah.
Elisha,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They multiply the bread?
There was a famine. There was a famine and there was no food. And someone, and Pastor Al, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not remembering the story correctly. There was a famine and there was no food. And someone went on his own to go get some food. And he ended up picking up poisonous plant. Right? Is that the right word? A poisonous plant, and put that plant in the pot. Okay? So now the whole pot became poisonous. Okay? And they were about to eat from it. So Elisha, and so that was going to bring death. And then Elisha, what did he, he threw something in the pot. What? Flour. He put flour, which is also flour throughout the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. Flour is a representation, is a picture or is a symbol of Jesus. It's white, so it's without any sin. It's been
milled.
stained.
What's that word?
Milled, right?
What?
Sift.
No. It was ground. Ground.
Ground. Like Jesus, who was like, what's the word in Isaiah? كان مسحوق مسحوق لأجل أسامنا. Isaiah 53. مجروح من أجل معصينا مسحوق من أجل أسامنا.
Wow, I'm gonna have to look that up now.
He was bruised for our
iniquity. Yes.
Yeah. And made to be the bread of life. So Elisha put the flour in the pot that was poisonous, that was going to kill everyone. And by the flour being in that pot, it changed the poison and it changed everything in it instead of being poisonous to food that they actually ate. It's a miracle that you can find and you can read it in 2 Kings 4.
And of course, we know that there were so many miracles that Jesus had related to food over and over. So there is the picture between Elisha and Jesus, one of the many.
Yeah, it's 2 Kings 4, and it starts in verse 38.
Actually, if you go to verse 42 to verse 44, in that same chapter, 2 Kings 4, beginning of 42 to 44, it says, "A man from Baal Shalisha came and brought 20 loaves of barley bread from the harvest. So he brought fresh grain in his sack, and Elisha says, give it to the people to eat. And he says, how can this feed 100 men with so little? But Elisha said, give the bread to the prophet to eat. So that's what the Lord says, and they eat, and they will have plenty of food left over. Mm. And he gave it to them, and the people ate, and they had food left over, as the Lord had said.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
That's the one.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you. That's the one that we were referencing. I was talking about the other one.
Okay. Makes sense.
But they're two back-to-back incredible miracles, and they both represent Jesus in different ways.
Yes. Yes. Got it.
And it says feeding of the 100. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome. It was 42.
That's what I. So, if no one has anything else, we can pray and wrap up tonight. Next week, will it be the last week?
Probably.
Yeah. And we'll go through the prophets next week. So we're looking forward to that. There'll be a lot to discuss and jump into. So unless anyone has anything else to say, Pastor Mike can pray for us and close us out.
Amen. Thank you guys again. Heavenly Father, we give you honor and glory always, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And as we continue to dive in and read your word, Father, we just pray, just continue to show us your love, your goodness, Lord. Jesus, that you may reveal yourself, Lord, that we may see you, we may see your light, Father, that we may see your goodness, Lord, we may see your perfect will, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have shown us, Lord, and we pray you just continue to draw us closer, Lord. You continue to call us, Lord. Father God, that you may shine your light in us, Father God, and we in turn may shine our light to those around us in our home, our workplace, schools, wherever we may go, Father. Lord, your love, Father God, is not just for us, but those around us, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God. Continue to speak to us, continue to strengthen us, continue to encourage us, Lord. Father God, continue, Lord, to give us your joy, Father God. Lord, we honor you. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you always, Lord. I thank you for these families here, these families represented, these homes represented, Lord, your peace over them, Lord, your goodness over them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you guide us just as you've been present then. We thank you, you're present now, Lord. And we thank you. We honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.